Everybody, thank you for being here. And Will Byrne is with me this week. How are you doing, man?
I am doing well.
So you wanted to do Billy Crystal's Marvelous.
Yes.
Which is an interesting choice because, A, I thought I'd heard it, but I was wrong. I've only heard bits from it. Like, I mean, I've heard him do his Blues Guy, which recently, I guess, has became a little controversial. But whatever. And I've heard him do Fernando Llamas a ton of times.
Right.
And I know my mom tells me that when I was a hammy little baby that I used to do that impression all the time, which is how they quote-unquote knew I was going to be funny. You know,
right.
One of those things. So when did you first hear this album?
I was a kid. I wasn't quite so hammy, but I was a kid. I don't know how old. I was real young.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad got it and brought it home. Because we had seen the Fernando on Saturday Night Live, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So we were already, and like, you know, they were doing the comic relief every year.
Oh, right, sure.
And so it was like, you know, him, Whoopi Goldberg, Robin Williams. So mm-hmm. we were already like big into Billy Crystal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he came home with that and it just was on. Like we just would listen to that over and over again.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, we would do all the impressions, you know.
That's
like,
awesome.
We laughed and laughed all the way back to the hotel. It may be controversial, but it is funny.
There are a couple, here's the, like, I mean, we can get into this if we want.
I don't really want to.
Exactly.
But, you know.
But like, people give him shit and I understand why they give him shit, but at the same time, there's no harm meant in what he does. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
He wasn't doing like a racist, malicious thing.
Right.
You know, it was mm-hmm. just an impression of someone that was funny.
Exactly right. And I know where people come from, but either way. So let's talk about like how he, let's talk about you. Let's talk about your comedy influences. Would you call yourself a comedy family? Like,
I mean, I'd say my family is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my brother's a comedian,
mm-hmm.
Who's doing well at it.
Sure.
My dad was just always a prankster growing up.
Yeah.
You know, he was always cracking us up. My mom is unintentionally funny.
Okay.
And then I just kind of, you know, snuck in the back there, you know, being the little brother, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, whenever I went from like transitioned from like elementary school to middle school or middle school to high school, it's like the day I walked into class, they'd look at me and be like, "You his brother?" Yeah. You in the front, switch with him. And I'm front and center for, but I mean,
holy shit.
In the long run, it was a smart move on the teacher's part to make that assumption because,
uh-huh.
you know, I was like the one that was always cracking, you know, they'd say something and I'd say something stupid.
Of course.
But yeah, you know, I guess we're a pretty comedic family. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you collect albums now? Did you collect them then?
I didn't then.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I didn't even collect really music albums then.
Okay.
And then when I was in my 20s, I started really getting into that. Well, I was in the Army as well, so
uh-huh.
you know, I was, you know, to pass time, I would listen to new and different music. So
yeah.
I was buying the CDs. And then, you know, you do a lot of traveling. You're on planes for a long
sure.
time. You're in vehicles. And, you know, and then when I'd come back, I'd take long road trips. So I'd always buy a bunch of comedy CDs as well.
Awesome. Okay.
And just, like, pop those in the car, you know, instead of listening to music, same CD over and
sure.
over again. Just listen to a bunch of different comedians. And it just makes the trip so much better.
For sure. Like, I've always found myself, like, there's a period in my life when I feel like music was definitely super comforting to me in that same way, but comedy more so, at least
right.
for me. Like, because you can, I don't know what it is, it feels like they're talking right at you, I
yeah.
guess. Yeah. You
know? Well, I mean, I was that kid that, you know, in high school, you know, there was nights where instead of going out, I would just sit at home and watch Comedy Central all night and watch
mm-hmm.
all the different stand-up specials. And
of
just,
course.
And it was just so, yeah, sometimes it sucks, but most of the time they're pretty good because
yeah.
they're on Comedy Central.
Of course.
Know?
Yeah.
At
yeah.
the time, it, you know, it wasn't that easy to get on there.
Right. Did you end up repurchasing this album for yourself at some point?
I did. Well, I did online.
Yeah.
I had to.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I believe we had it on vinyl first, and then eventually we had the cassette tape.
Yeah.
And that thing got played over and over again. And then it's just, I hadn't really listened to it or thought about it
mm-hmm.
since I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know? And then it was Christmas time. I was down in Florida with my parents and
mm-hmm.
Everyone was off doing something and I just had nothing to do and I'm watching TV and both the City Slickers came on.
Uh-huh.
And so I was watching those, and that made me think of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went on, and I got it online, and I was like, I got to listen to that again.
Was it, like, instantly comforting to listen to it again?
It really was.
Yeah.
I was just laying in bed in the guest room just listening to that, and I was just like, okay, now I remember this.
That's awesome.
And it was great, because I got to remember some of the stuff. Like, yeah, there's the impressions that are known. Like, you know, there's Fernando, that
sure.
character he made, and then the impression of the jazz guy. But there's also just, like, the little things he does in there, like, is talking about, you know, having sex. And he's like, you know, it's the most wonderful thing you could do with your body. Mm-hmm. And then he just pauses and goes, except like on a water slide. Oh, you know, just little things like that just kill me.
And it's, oh, yeah. Does it like, so was it like a family thing where you guys would all sit around and listen to it at first? Or was it just on?
Yeah, at first. I mean, a lot of the stuff we did was like that.
Yeah.
You know, listening to an album like that or, you know, watching Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was real little, you know, like Friday night sitcoms.
Yeah.
You know, like family ties and stuff. You know, it was like the whole family gathered and did that.
Do you, was it common? Is it a common thing when you're in the military to listen to comedy, or was that more your thing? Did you know anybody else who was like...
No, it was fairly common, I think. Because especially when you're overseas in a horrible place, you not only want some of the comforts of home, you know, you want to take your mind out of that situation for a while. So, yeah, there was a lot of things that we used to listen to over there. And, you know, a lot of people would just, you know, cross out. Like, one of the big ones was Mitch Hedberg.
Oh, of course.
Was just huge with us. Mm-hmm. And so everybody was always quoting Mitch Hedberg. Mm-hmm. You know, it was hard not to.
Yeah. Which is interesting to me because, like, his stuff is so much more chaotic. And I guess it doesn't matter, like, even if you're in a chaotic place, as long as it's funny.
Right.
A different kind of chaos works, right?
Exactly.
That's interesting to me. That's fascinating. So... Man, what about when you're actually like, I mean, I guess when you're on duty doing what you've got to do, there's no chance to distract yourself. But like, is there, I mean, you're 24 hours working though. Like,
yeah,
so
pretty
when do you
much.
Have time to listen?
Like when you go back to your base and stuff, then you have time.
Okay.
You know, when you're out there doing stuff, it's like, you know, you're not just like running around kicking in doors.
Of course,
you know,
of course.
There's a lot of times where you're just standing there. Just
looking
around, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, days like that, some things kind of, you know, start taking over and you start messing around. You come up with little practical jokes
and stuff. Of course.
And then you get yelled at because you don't take anything seriously. And you're like, well, you know, where we are, we kind of got to laugh once in a while or we're going to go crazy and kill each other.
100%.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but I used to, I mean, I was a big practical joker like growing up. But I had to kind of tone that down because I've taken it to a point sometimes where I've almost given old people heart attacks.
Shit.
So, I was in Iraq and I did this gag where I would shut the hood of your car after looking in it. Uh-huh. And I'd pretend my hand was stuck in there. And then when I jerked it out, like, all this red fluid would come out. And then it was a little baggie I had in my hand. And I'd, go open it up after a while, after screaming and yelling for a while and cursing the people whose car it was. And one day there was this old woman in the back seat, and I almost gave her a heart attack.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, my God, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, right,
I got to stop.
Oh, my God, that's so funny. Did you, when you're listening to, like, you re-listened to this today, right? And like,
I actually did re-listen to it today.
Okay. And this is the first time, like I said, that I've heard it. So, like, stuff is fairly fresh for me, and it's funny to listen to. I mean, you listen to a lot of comics. You know a lot of comics. Comedy's your thing. It seems to me. And at first I thought I'm going to be listening to a stand-up record that was just like slapped together. Like maybe he already had the stand-up sitting around.
Right.
I've got my catchphrases and my song. But it's not. He's like, he uses the damn stuff in his act like Steve Martin did Wild and Crazy Guy and all that shit.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. And I really, the fucking audience eats him up. Like,
oh, yeah.
They love it so much. And this, but yet at the same time, it's the only album he ever did. Maybe he didn't need to do another one.
Right.
I guess, because he becomes a huge movie star. What kind of stuff did you seek out after you listened to this? Or was it just still what your parents brought into the house for a while?
Yeah, at that time I was pretty young, so it was still pretty much what my parents brought into the house.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't that many channels on TV.
Sure.
You know, like, even when we had cable, there was probably maybe 21, 30 channels.
Mm-hmm.
HBO and Cinemax were the, like, the big premium things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, once in a while, you know, HBO had our stand-up specials. You know, and there was always randomly stuff on like, primetime TV.
Mm-hmm.
And, so, you know, I was actually a big Howie Mandel fan when I was a kid.
Sure.
That thing with the rubber glove on his head just killed me.
Of course.
I don't know why.
Of course.
But, you know, and then, of course, most of the people that did, like, the comic release just killed me. And that's when, you know, I think, you know, when I was growing up, when I was younger, is when Saturday Night Live was at its best.
Sure.
You know, because we were coming out of the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of great setups of casts in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And then from 80s to 90s was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And so there was always that
mm-hmm.
that was going. But, you know, I always grew up liking stuff like that.
Boy, I'll tell you, Willie, feels like we've been online here for this show for like a day and a half.
Yeah, I don't care though, Frankie. This is my last night of Bachelor World.
What are you talking about?
I'm thinking about marrying the secretary from Shadelman's suit.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, she loves me, Frankie. She wants me. She likes my style of lovemaking.
Willie, a stallion's gotta run and run free.
I know, but I love her so.
I understand, but there's a whole wide world out there. A whole wide world packed full of young girls, young and sweaty, who bend over backwards for our guided missiles of love.
I don't know, Frankie. I'm confused. My brain's all twisted up. I'm gonna go across the street, get a hot dog, and just think about it.
Okay.
Be right back.
Watch out, Willie!
As I got older, I got into the state,
mm-hmm.
and who later got into Reno 911, and that was very cool. Mm-hmm. I actually got to meet them, pretty much all the people from the state when I was. It was during when they were doing the show Viva Variety,
uh-huh.
and I was working at this place called Comedy Nation upstairs from Caroline's.
Oh, okay.
Comedy Club in New York, and I was a bar back, and this guy comes up and he orders a wine, and I look at the bartender, and I'm like, "Hey, Kelly," and she goes, "Yeah," and I go, "Doesn't that guy look just like Thomas Lennon from Viva Variety?" And she looks at him, she goes, "He does." And he looks at me and he goes, "Oh, what are you guys talking about?" And I, "Oh, it's nothing, man. I was just saying you look a lot like Thomas Lennon from Viva Variety." And he goes, "Oh, that's because I am Thomas Lennon from Viva Variety." And I was like, "Holy shit." And we started talking, and we were talking about the state, and he's like, "You want to meet him?" I was like, "Wait, are you serious?" He's like, "Yeah, they're all right there." I was like, "Is that cool?" I was like, "Yeah, I do."
Cool.
It was a very cool experience.
That's phenomenal. He's the nicest dude.
Oh, like, he's very nice, yeah.
So cool. I mean, I haven't met him, but he's given me some advice, like, through email and shit, and that's enough for me. You know?
Right.
You know, I'll take it.
Yeah,
it's yeah. What's the first live comedy you ever saw, then?
The first live comedy? I think if I had to really think about it and be honest, I think it'd be my brother.
Yeah?
Because I didn't really, even though I was living in New York, mm-hmm. You know, I was working kind of crappy jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, when I got out, I'd just go to a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't really going to the comedy clubs and stuff. And then I was working out there, and my brother called me from Kent State and uh-huh. said, "I'm going to come to New York. I want to be a comedian."
All right.
And so that's what he did. And so one night he came in and he said, "Look, I want to do an open mic night, but I have to have three people come to say that they're there to see me."
Oh, okay.
And so me and my parents went, and... You know, like a lot of open mic nights, the first half of it was pretty painful to sit through.
Uh-huh.
And he got up there and just flipped it.
Really?
Like, his first night just killed it.
Jesus.
And even the guys that came after,
mm-hmm.
like, they got laughs because they're warmed up now.
Of course.
But, you know, nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he took what he did and talked to some people, got some advice, dropped some things, kept most of it,
mm-hmm.
and then just kept going.
Jesus.
And so I had to keep going to these shows until after a while. I was like, "You got to find someone else to fucking do this because I got a fucking life to live." And but then from that, you know, I started going because, you know, once he started getting around, it was like I could pretty much walk in any comedy club
mm-hmm.
and they'll just let me. Yeah, go ahead in. You know, and so whenever I'd see someone I was interested in, I'd go, and like I got to see Jon Stewart, which was very cool.
Oh, boy.
Just so many. I've mm-hmm. seen so many now just from being a part of that world through him.
Yeah.
That, you know, like he'd fly me out to places when I'd come home from Iraq and,
yeah.
you know, I'd fly me out to San Jose and, you know, Bobby Lee and Ken Jeong and
yeah.
Kevin Shea doing the Kims of Comedy with him.
Shit.
Which was a really fun experience.
That's cool. Was it a shock to you that the family was going to have a comedian, or did you know?
My parents always kind of thought I was going to do that,
uh-huh.
But it, you know, it didn't really come as a shock because he was always like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was always a cut up,
mm-hmm.
and so when I didn't know he was going to get that big with
sure.
it,
of course.
You know, to the point where it's like I'm walking in a hotel and somebody thinks I'm him, and they're coming up, "Mr. Byrne," and I'm like, "Yeah, did I do something? You know, what did I do?" And they're like, "Oh, I'm a big fan of yours." I'm like, "What did I do?" but yeah, I didn't know it was going to go that far. And then, you know, when he had his show on TBS, I, you know, it was amazing. You know, I was just like, "You're going to be like on TV, like on a weekly basis, like not just a special on Comedy Central, like you okay, you did that. All right." And then I get hired as a stand-in, so I'm just that little piece of crap in the corner, as per usual.
That's fun. So, okay, so did... let's see. What about when you're overseas, though? Did you get to see any live...
Actually, I because of him, again, I did once, because it was my first tour, and it was actually his first tour with the USO.
Okay.
And he was going with Bobby Kelly and Colin Quinn.
Okay.
And so he had gotten a hold of me online and let me know. I was like, you know, let me know when you're going to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got the dates and I gave them to my superiors and they're like, yeah, of course. And so they gave me a night to go and
that's awesome.
Traveled around with these three from base to base and watched them do their shows. But most of the time when there was a concert or a comedy show or, you know, WWE wrestlers came and put on a show, I was out on a mission, and all the, we called them Fobbits, because the Fob is the forward operating base, and the people who never leave it are the Fobbits. They're the ones who get to go to all those shows and all that. And but I was the one out there doing stuff, and so I got to miss all those.
Let's real quick, let's talk about your podcast, because I want to make sure that we mention it. We'll make sure to push it at the very end too, but you got a podcast called Military Moments.
I do have a podcast called Military Moments,
and tell people about it a little bit.
Basically what it is it's a talk show. It's a half hour program, and it's mostly geared towards soldiers and veterans, but it's really for anyone who wants to hear about that other side of military life that you don't really hear about. We're not too political. We mostly have in comedians, entertainers who have done USO, or are veterans themselves, or just, you know, any regular veteran or soldier, if I'm lucky enough to get one that's currently serving. I've had some that are serving in the reserve still. Jose Sardui, who's a pilot, very cool, who's still in the reserves training pilots. But basically we come in and we talk about, if it's a veteran, we talk about, you know, was your family in the military? How did you come to join? Was it a family thing, or, you know, did you get in trouble? What's the deal? And then we talk about, you know, funny things that happen to you while you're serving, pranks we played on each other, different things like that. Or as a comedian who hasn't served but has done USO or performed for the troops in some capacity, then it's like, you know, what are some of the cool things you got to experience when you got to, because they get to go. When they go to another country, not obviously like a war zone, but, you know, they do go to those. But I'm saying when they go to other ones that aren't as bad, they get to go off base and see some of the things that the soldiers don't get to go see. Unless it's like those higher up officers that, you know, are privileged and get to do that. And then we always take a couple minutes and we discuss a different support group or program towards supporting or helping soldiers or veterans. So 1 week we'll talk about a program to help homeless vets. Next week we'll talk about how to a different program you could get into to show support to the troops. Different things like that.
That's awesome. And I have listened to it. I just want to make sure that I got that out. I do like it. I think just from my perspective, as not as being while in a military family, I never joined the military myself. It is great to listen to. Sometimes it's obviously heavy. It's really hard to, you know, who gives a shit?
It's once in a while we get into some heavy things. We try to keep it light, but you know, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, that shit happens. Heavy shit happens.
Exactly.
And one of the keys to this podcast is really just letting soldiers and veterans out there that are maybe having a rough time with things, you know, maybe you saw something, maybe you've been through something and, you know, you don't think anyone could understand it. It's just, you know, that's why we talk about some of that heavy shit, to let you know that you're not alone. And that the one key is find someone, anyone you could talk to about it. You know, and so it's a place for that. And then, you know, Scott Douglas, my co-host, the first of every month, what he does is he goes to the Waffle in Hollywood and he makes himself available for an hour to any soldier or veteran who wants to come in and just talk and have breakfast about, and if they don't want to talk about anything that happened in the military, they don't have to. They can talk about their day today.
That's fucking cool.
They can talk about their day yesterday. So that, I mean, that's one of the little things he does to give back.
I'm curious, and this is going to come from a place of just complete ignorance, but I do always wonder, like you said, you had comedy there as a thing to maybe a little, like a little reserve of sanity somewhere.
Right.
Right. Is is there ever a I know there are plenty of vets who come out and become comics, and maybe comedy does become their own therapy in a way. I mean, right. Is there a thing for people who aren't comics? Is humor, does that ever become a respite once you're out of the military? And I'm curious.
I think it is for anyone in any situation. Yeah. I think humor is a huge respite. You know, I just think that whether it has to do with military or whether it doesn't, if you're having a rough time with anything,
yeah.
I think if you could find something that makes you laugh, that's always going to make you feel better.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a huge comfort for anyone.
Yeah. Do you find yourself, after the military, did you ever seek out more comedy, or were you just still, like, kind of voraciously? I mean, do you still buy albums and stuff, or go see shit?
But I do go to shows.
Yeah.
And like you said, a lot of veterans come out and become comedians as their kind of therapy. So, you know, that's who I seek out for the program. Mm-hmm. So I go to see that. And then, you know, a lot of my friends who are actors and stuff, who kind of start transitioning into comedy, you know, they'll be like, hey, you know, I got this open mic thing, so I'll go check that out. And, you know, there's always that first half, but, but, yeah, I mean, especially since moving out here and not being in the military, I've gone to a lot more comedy shows than I used to.
I'm getting real protective because the boys are calling, you know. I'm handling it pretty good. Hello? No, Jenny's not here. She's on the space shuttle. She'll get back to you, okay, in some other space and time. Because dads have fears, you know, they do. You know, guys worry about who the first date's going to be. Mine is usually, you know, doorbell beep, bing, bong, I'll get it. Who is it? It's me, Mr. Crystal, how are you? My folks saw you in Vegas last year. Is that a hairpiece? Great. Most dads have this fear. Bing, bong, I'll get it, honey. Who is it? It's me, Carl. Hi, how you doing? You know me, I'm the boy with the biggest penis in the world.
When's the last time you listened to the Billy Crystal album before today?
Before today? Christmas time.
Christmas time?
When I downloaded it Christmas, when I was watching City Slickers.
Okay. So do you have any, I mean, maybe this will be on regular circulation for you now, but do you have any albums that you ever bring out like on a certain occasion, or you're just like, I gotta listen to this today?
Not really, because in the past like couple years, I've been moving around a lot. Mm-hmm. So I have this one binder that has like all my comedy CDs in it, mm-hmm. which isn't a lot, but they're in there. And I think that's in my storage unit that I got to get rid of.
Okay.
But, so not really. Mm-hmm. This is actually the only comedy album I've listened to in quite some time.
Really? Okay.
Cause I haven't been on really long road trips. Mm-hmm. You know, there was one, it was a David Cross one that was just hilarious mm-hmm. to me. And you know, if you can't get a comedy album, you know, offer to drive a comedian to a gig.
Right.
Know, and tell them, try your material out on me on the way. I had a good buddy of mine, Gareth Reynolds, who's primarily improv. I don't know if you remember a show called Mancations.
I've heard
with Evan and Gareth.
Mm-hmm.
Evan Mann and Gareth Reynolds. Great guys. And Gareth was doing a thing in San Diego that I was going to.
Mm-hmm.
And his car broke down, so I went and picked him up.
Uh-huh.
It just so happened we were leaving a day later than everyone, so it just worked out. And he had not really done stand-up before, but he was going to MC the show. So he was like, do you mind if I try some of this out on you? I'm like, no, of course.
Yeah.
I did not stop laughing the whole ride down. I think that was one of the best road trips I've ever had.
That's awesome.
It was just nonstop.
Yeah. That's so good. Obviously this album's important to you. Do you have like, what are your favorite bits off of the whole thing? It goes by really fast.
It does go by fast. I mean, it's a quick hour. Mm-hmm. It's a quick hour. I'd say some of my favorite bits are when he's talking about having daughters
mm-hmm.
and talking about the different kinds of guys that show up. Mm-hmm. And he's like, here's everyone's nightmare. Hey, I'm Carl, the guy with the biggest penis in the world. Look what I can do with it. That one just always killed me. And then even just the beginning part when they're just the two guys talking, mm-hmm. I hate when that happens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I jammed it in my ear just to see how far in I can get it to go. but I think my favorite thing, which I actually thought, when I listened to it today, thought about it, putting it on my phone as the greeting, was the voicemail thing he leaves.
Oh, yeah.
Answer machine greeting from Fernando that he leaves at the end. Hold the phone up to your face. You look marvelous. And even talking about that, when he gets up at the beginning and he starts talking about how great it is, you know, everywhere he goes, everyone's saying, you look marvelous.
Right.
He's like, it's so much better than what I got when I was doing soap. Hey, you fucking faggot!
It's probably true, too.
It is probably true, because, I mean, when that show was being put out, you know, I saw it later,
sure,
of course, in reruns. But, you know, at that time, it wasn't as tolerated, you know,
of course, yeah,
as it is now. So, yeah, I could see him getting a lot of that, because a lot of people also, you know, TV wasn't as mainstream as it is, to where people might think reality TV is actually real.
Right, right.
But some of those people back then couldn't differentiate between reality and a TV show. It's like, I might as well have been watching the news.
Right, right, 100%. So, where did you grow up?
I was born in New Jersey, but I primarily grew up in Pittsburgh.
Oh,
in
Pittsburgh, okay.
Yeah.
So, I'm just now I'm thinking, I'm curious, your dad was in the military, right?
My dad was in the Army, yes.
Okay, did he serve in, when did he serve?
He served during Vietnam.
Okay.
But he didn't go to Vietnam.
Okay, yeah.
What happened
Same
was,
as my dad.
Him and his buddies were graduating college.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when kind of the draft was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, well, the second we graduate, they're going to draft us.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we just graduate? We just went through college. We'll go in as officers and volunteer.
Okay.
And that way, you know, if you volunteered then, instead of getting drafted, you got to pick
sure.
what you do.
Yeah.
Which was the bonus of volunteering.
Yep.
So fortunately, instead of getting sent to Vietnam, he got sent to Korea.
Okay.
Which is where he subsequently met my mother.
Okay. Has he ever talked to you? I mean, I'm sure you guys have stuff to talk to. Maybe you don't. I mean, sometimes I know that veterans don't like to talk about their experiences.
Oh, we've had lots of talks about it. Oh,
okay,
yeah.
That's awesome.
We were pretty close before.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's another thing that bonded us even tighter. That
yeah.
you know, because there's such a small percentage of the country that's served or
sure.
serving.
Sure.
So there's only so many people that actually have that bond
yeah.
with each other. And so, you know, that was definitely something that brought us closer together. And it was, you know, he was able to now talk to me about some of the things that maybe he wasn't able to talk to
sure.
me about before.
Yeah. Has he ever talked about, like, I'm just curious. I always am, because I there's something I haven't asked my own dad, because he didn't serve, no combat at all, but same kind of situation. He joined the Air Force so that he wouldn't have to go into combat.
Right.
And also volunteered. But I'm always curious the kind of stuff he might have listened to, the kind of stuff that was, like, in his, you know, immediate experience at the time that helped him get, because he was a medic, so he still saw a bunch of crap. You know,
right.
So I'm just, have you ever talked with your dad about the kind of stuff that he might have listened to, or I'm just curious?
Not really.
No? Okay.
I think that was one of those, like, the Pandora's box I didn't want to open
okay.
sometimes. Because,
okay.
You know, I mean, he was the guy that thought he could sing
okay.
every fucking song on the radio.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And clearly he could not. but that did not stop him
mm-hmm.
from trying with everything he had.
Yeah. He's Irish, so that's going to happen.
And then it's like I said, we were all pranksters growing up, but it's like, as the kid in the back seat,
mm-hmm.
when he goes to a toll booth that costs 35 cents, you uh-huh. can only hear, I'll pay cash so many times and think it's funny.
Uh-huh. Right.
Granted, for the toll booth guy hearing it for the first time, maybe kind of funny.
Maybe.
But for the kid in the back seat who's heard it that many times, all right, just drive through the fucking thing. I want to watch fucking cartoons.
Right. let's see. I'm trying to think. So was there anything we like to talk about sometimes, stuff comedy people shared with their friends or with their siblings? Was there any stuff that you and your brother shared, like, comedy-wise, other than maybe the Billy Crystal album, since that was a family thing? Anything that you snuck? Because there are a lot of stories like that.
Not really.
No? Okay.
My parents, there was nothing we really had to sneak.
Okay.
My parents were pretty open with, like I saw Eddie Murphy raw as a child.
Oh, shit.
You know, yeah.
Oh,
I was a young child, and I didn't get the earmuffs or anything like that.
Mm-hmm,
it was just, yeah, watch this. It's funny.
Uh-huh.
Don't repeat anything you hear.
Right,
you
know? Right.
So there wasn't anything we really had to, like, sneak around and hide.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, not really. No, and we didn't really talk about it much until he started really doing it.
Okay.
And then that's when it was just like, well, let's just go see this thing.
Sure.
And
sure.
so
That's interesting. Just because sometimes you do hear, like, one, like, either is a standout, but it sounds like... Was it a surprise to know that he was going to do comedy? Like, it's interesting.
Not really. I mean, he studied acting, so I kind of figured he was going to do something in that arena. Because that's what he majored in.
Sure.
And I kind of, you know, he took... he was in an acting camp when we were kids.
Okay.
And so I always kind of knew it was going to be something along that route.
Right.
I guess it is a little bit surprising that it was comedy. I mean, he's always been a funny guy, but it's more like when he's trying to, like, make a room full of people laugh. And yeah, it works.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if you're just talking to him like normal, he's not, like, cracking jokes all the time. It's just like, it's kind of boring, really. I'm not calling my brother boring.
I know what you're saying.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Christopher Guest has the same reputation,
actually. And then he gets up on there, and he's an animal.
Right.
And then he gets back down. He's like, you guys want some hot wings? Pizza? Pizza? I could go for pizza, you know?
Right, right. I'm trying to think. How about you? I mean, have you wanted to do comedy?
There was a part of me when I was younger that really did. Mm-hmm. I think a part of me still does. I'm always, you know, jotting things down.
Sure.
I only did it once.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't plan it. Okay. It was in no way my idea.
Uh-huh.
It was the day before I left for basic training.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out that day Sonic Youth was doing a free concert in Central Park.
Okay.
So a bunch of my buddies that I grew up with in Pittsburgh had driven out for the concert, and it was just perfect timing that I'm leaving tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, let's spend the day together.
Of course.
So we go, we get some food, we go to see Sonic Youth, and I knew of this little punk bar down the street, downtown, so I was like, oh, let's go there.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, yeah, let's go. So we get there, and turns out on this particular night, there is no punk anything going on.
No.
It was an open mic night for musicians, which was not, it was more the acoustic, weepy, I hate my studio apartment, but I love you type of stuff. And so we're just like, well, we're here, there's beer, all right.
Yeah.
So we're drinking, having a good time, sitting on this couch, and I go to the bathroom, and when I come back, I'm coming back to the table, and this guy stops me, and he says, hey, so you'll be up after the next two guitarists. I go, excuse me? And he gets real snarky with me. He goes, two more guitarists after this one, and then you.
Holy shit.
And I go, what the fuck are you talking about? He goes, do you really want me to say it again? And I'm like, do you want to tell me, do you even know who I am? And he goes, you're Will, right? And I go, shit, yes, I am. What the hell's going on? He goes, two more guitarists, and then you. And I'm like, okay, whatever, pal. And I walk away. And I go to the couch, and my buddy Rich is sitting there. I'm like, yo, Richie, you're not going to believe this. This guy tells me I'm going up there after the next two guitars. Rich goes, yeah, I know. I'm like, what do you mean you know? And he goes, yeah, I told him you always wanted to do stand-up, so he's going to give you 5 minutes. And I told him you were going to the Army tomorrow. I was like, you piece of shit. So I walked over to the bar, and she's like, can I get you some? And I said, yeah, give me a shot of Cuervo, a Budweiser, a napkin, and a pen. And so I quickly jotted down some of the things I could remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I went up and I did it, and it went all right.
Mm-hmm.
It did all right, but I didn't have a way to close it.
Yeah.
And so I stole his Bruce Lee bit, but I did say, I said, this is not mine. I just don't know what else to do now. So I'm going to do this imitation of my brother's imitation. I was like, but go see him. He's a good comedian. And I'm going to fucking leave and go to basic training tomorrow.
Holy shit. That's so funny.
And so, you know, I was pretty much out all night after that. And, you know, a bunch of people came up and bought me drinks afterwards, which was pretty cool. And then they found out I was going, that, you know, they were like, oh, you're leaving for basic. Here's another one.
Yeah.
And so then... I don't think I slept. I think I literally walked in the door, took a shower, and the phone was ringing, and it was the recruiter. He's like, I'm downstairs. And I was like, all right, I'll be right there.
My God.
And I went down and, you know, said my goodbyes to my parents, grabbed my stuff, and just took off.
Shit, that's so crazy. And a brand new chapter starts just like that.
When guys talk about sex, they don't talk about sex nicely. It sounds like they're angry about, you know, I mean, it's the nicest thing you can do with your body, except, like, on a water slide. But... that feels good too. I love that. But guy, if you guys talk about sex, it's ridiculous. They sound angry. Hey, you know that secretary? I fucked her. Nice images they use too. I fucked the shit out of her. I fucked until her brains caved in. Then you get the girls like, no, he just dropped me off. He was disgusting. I was asleep by 9:30. Ugh, I hate him. She was begging for more. You know, those goons. I went to high school with those guys. That's what I was at my craziest, you know? Which is why I'm worried about my daughters. You know, because I was the horniest guy in the world. 15, you get that voice. Hello, how you doing? Hello, how are you?
Now that I think about it, then I can't, being a storyteller, I can't help but wonder what had happened if the next day there was no military issue. Like, if you would have been interested in trying it again. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's fascinating. Do you, so what happens when you speak to, is there any like kind of, story when you speak to comedians who were in the military? Do they have like a similar trajectory? Were they comedians first or the interest in comedy first, or did it come out of serving? Like, I'm curious.
It goes back and forth.
Yeah.
For some of them, it was something they always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And then when they got out, they were like, okay, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Others, you know, like we were saying earlier, the therapy thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, they realize that some of their stories can be seen in a funny way.
Sure.
And when they tell them, they make people laugh. So then they start telling them on stage.
Yeah.
And then that just leads to other stuff. And, you know, it's not only therapeutic, but, you know, especially when they get a good response,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
So it goes back and forth.
Yeah. I'm wondering, like, have you seen or heard comics who are in the military who have made really great comedy out of the darkest shit? I'm always curious because that's hard. Like, death is hard to joke about.
It really is.
You can do it well. You can do it, but it's hard to do well.
It is. I haven't really come across one that uses that particular spectrum.
Yeah.
PJ Walsh was, he was a dentist
mm-hmm.
for the military.
Okay.
And he was actually the dentist for the White House.
Really?
And part of his thing is when he says that, people don't believe him.
Yeah.
And
it's a weird thing.
It's like, you know, if I was going to make up a job in the military,
right.
why wouldn't I say I was a commando or something,
right.
like killing 20 people by myself? Why would I pick dentist for the White House? You know, there's all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then there's other ones where, you know, it's you know, you know, I tell people I was in the military, but really my day-to-day life was just tightening this screw all day,
right,
you know?
Right.
Like henchmen arbitrarily pressing buttons. yeah, so, you know, it goes around. But I haven't seen anyone who could really take the darkness of it and make it funny.
Yeah.
Maybe that's my new challenge.
Right.
Challenge accepted.
Right. it's just, like, you know, I mean, it's the one thing where, like, if I hear, you know, I can hear an experienced comic make jokes about certain things maybe they don't have any experience with, because there's that level of separation where they're like, okay, cool, I can put up a shield and I can make a joke about something I observe. But
there's a story I've told that from my first tour that's,
mm-hmm.
I mean, when I think about it now that you say it, can be pretty gruesome, but uh-huh. people generally tend to laugh
okay.
about it.
Yeah.
Basically what had happened was we were getting ready to leave
mm-hmm.
Iraq to come back home.
Okay.
So when you do that, of course, you have to show the people taking over your sector.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to pick these guys up in the morning. We're like, hey, you here for us? They said, yeah. We said, get in. We're taking them around for a couple hours. It's about lunchtime, and we get a call on the radio. It says, where are you? Said, what do you mean? We're out showing these guys the sector. They're like, really? Because those guys are here. And we're like, what do you mean they're here? They're like, they just walked into the CP. And they're like, oh, we're like, okay, so they walked in 3 fucking hours late? All right, well, we're taking our time getting back there. It's lunchtime, so we're going to eat too.
Uh-huh.
So you could tell them they could come watch us eat lunch and then come out with us, but they showed up 3 hours late, and now we got the wrong fucking people.
Shit.
And so we bring these guys back, and you know, basically they should have just kept walking a little bit
mm-hmm.
and found their people. But, you know, they didn't know, and we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Had our guys not been 3 hours late, it would have maybe been okay, but you uh-huh. know, they're National Guard. That's what you get. They only work the weekends, where we worked every day. So basically, we're eating our lunch and we're kind of taking our time. And it was kind of funny because it was the worst timing for him to say this. My platoon sergeant said, don't nothing happen in this sector. Cause we had been moved from shitty places we were at to a kind of calm area
okay.
right outside the main base.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, oh, nothing. You could sit out on your truck, buck naked. Nothing's going to happen.
Jesus.
Right when he said that, V-bid.
Ooh.
A guy drove a car into a supply truck and blew it up.
Holy shit.
So now we got to rally up and get out there and secure the area.
Yeah.
So we're doing that, and we're walking the perimeter, and I'm showing this. I was a private at the time, and I'm showing this staff sergeant, which is significantly higher than me, the area, and I'm walking, and there on the side of the road is the guy's hand that blew himself up. Ooh. And so I point at it, and I say, hand, and I keep walking. And he goes, excuse me, private? And I kept walking. He's like, private? I was like, what, are you talking to me? He's like, yeah, get over here. Get over there. He goes, did you not see that hand? I go, yeah, Roger, sorry. And that's why I pointed at it and said, hand. And he goes, well, what are you going to do about it? I'm like, leave it the fuck there. What do you think I'm going to do about it? You know, he's like, what? Is that the right answer? I'm like, yeah, it is. And he goes, I go, what? Let me ask you something, Sergeant. What would you do with it? And he goes, take it. And I said, for what? He said, evidence. I said, of what? That guy blew himself up? Right. We know that already. His hand is sitting there. Where's the rest of him? Gone.
Right.
We know what happened.
Oh, shit.
And he goes, well, I go, on top of that, we're in Iraq. It's a third world country.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have CSI shit here.
Right, right.
You know, they don't do that stuff here. So what, are you going to fingerprint the hand?
Right.
Even if you find out who it was, it's not one of your top 10 most wanted terrorists. It's some poor guy who blew himself up because they convinced him to do it, and they're going to take care of his fucking family.
Uh-huh.
I go, on top of that, you obviously didn't pay attention to the briefings on the way here because you don't realize that the second you lay a finger on that, you've done two things. One, you've pissed off all the Iraqi national citizens that live around here and are watching you because they take care of their own.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Number two, if you lay a finger on that, guess what? You're now responsible for it. And now, if we are about to go into base, but we get called out to do another mission, and that mission ends up lasting 3 days, guess who's carrying a decrepit, disgusting, severed hand around with him for 3 fucking days until we can get back to base, and your dumbass can walk around with this hand and figure out where you're supposed to put it and explain to everyone why you have a hand. I go, now, if you'd like to discuss this further, Sergeant, I'd be more than happy to. He's like, no, just keep walking. Stop talking and keep walking. It's like, yeah, I get that a lot.
Holy shit. That's, oh my good God. You know what I always like to do is, to get back to the album, I know, like, we got distracted
we,
by
we
a lot
did,
of...
that took a side rail there.
I mean, that's, the first episodes are always autobiographical. That's how they always end up being, but, like, even listening to Marvelous, I was like, obviously, I knew it was going to be a little dated. So it's dated.
Right, yeah, fine. Very dated.
Whatever.
You can tell from the synthesizer music and everything.
Right. And it's catchphrase heavy and, like, whatever. It has a personal meaning to you. That's why you pick it. And I like getting into somebody's head in that way. And it's kind of cool. And I can actually see why this would be comforting. You know,
right.
And why maybe, you know, your whole family might sit around and listen to it. Because it's, there's some dirty stuff, but it seems, it's harmless, I think, for the most part.
It's fairly clean.
Right.
Like, there's some swearing, and some, like, swearing, yeah, sure. I fucked her. That, right. You know, like, yeah, I fucked the shit out of her. Yeah, that's, but it's so quick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's a description.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, it passes real quick, and then it goes back into stuff that's not really that dirty.
Right,
so
right.
You know.
So, if you're going to recommend this album to somebody to listen to it for the first time, if they don't know anything about Billy Crystal or haven't heard this because it is his only album, that's one thing to, again, make pointedly clear. He didn't have to make another one after this.
Right.
This was a, you know, this is a way to get some money, but also, you know, entertain people. And you couldn't, I mean, at the time, you could tape stuff off of SNL if you wanted, but if you missed it, you had this.
Yeah.
You look marvelous, absolutely marvelous.
condense into a few, you know, into a paragraph, like, why pick this album? Why listen to it?
Oh, geez.
Because, again, you know, it's hard to pitch something that means something to you without saying it means this to me. So
I wasn't aware I was coming in to do a miniature book report. I guess, oh, man, that's putting me on the spot.
Now, if there's,
it?
Like, one thing that stands out about his comedy at the time.
I mean, like we were saying, I would say that, you know, it's... If you're looking for something that's not too dirty, because mm-hmm. I think that's one thing that a lot of, yeah, it's funny. I laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I laugh. Mm-hmm. You know, dick jokes are funny.
Of course.
You know, but when you can go with like one, maybe two dick jokes
mm-hmm.
and the rest of it pretty clean mm-hmm. and still make people laugh, yeah. genuinely laugh and enjoy themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's when you got something. Like yeah. Bill Cosby, I think, is the king of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just very clean shows,
sure.
but just hilarious.
Yeah.
That was another big one growing up that we watched.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was always safe to put that on.
Sure, like himself? Is that
yeah,
the one you watched?
Okay. Any of them. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah,
but yeah. Yeah, himself was predominantly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, I think that's a big thing. And I think another huge selling point is the fact that it was his only album
mm-hmm.
That showcases his, not only the characters he did on Saturday Night Live and stuff, but his stand-up as well, which...
Yeah.
You know, maybe a lot of people aren't as familiar with once you started just knocking out movies and
for
stuff.
For sure, for sure. Do you? So after this, were you still a fan of his movies and stuff?
I was. I was a huge fan of his movies for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I didn't see this last one where there were grandparents, but the commercials,
oh, yeah.
the previews cracked me up.
Yeah,
I didn't
yeah.
actually see the movie yet, though. But I was in Nashville working the Wild West Comedy Festival.
Uh-huh.
And his newest special was on
mm-hmm.
in the hotel room.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I sat back and I watched that, and that was really great.
Really, okay.
And just really funny, but also, you know, very touching as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think other than George Carlin, a lot of comedians get like that as they get older. Their specials tend to be more on the laughing and touching side,
mm-hmm.
whereas Carlin was just George Carlin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no one could take that away, and that is a compliment. That is not an insult
yeah.
by any means.
Of course.
I think that oddly enough was one I was allowed to watch as a child as well.
Really?
I mean, Irish dad, George Carlin.
Yeah, okay.
He's not saying no to that.
Sure, sure.
Who's not going to let someone listen to George Carlin? That's all I'll say. I'm going to put it in my baby's crib. I want his first word to be shitbag. I don't have a baby, so don't worry about that, people. No, yeah, yeah.
That was perfect recommendation. So before we go, I want to make sure that we promote the Military Moments Podcast.
Military Moments Podcast.
Which
through,
they can find.
You can find it through thenetworkstudios.com,
mm-hmm.
on Stitcher, on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
You could follow me on Twitter at MillMomentsBurn, BYRNE. But yeah, it's we have a new episode every Friday morning. And you could access any episode at any time. If you have a podcast app on your phone, you could download them. Just search, go into the search tab and write in Military Moments.
Mm-hmm.
We're about 35 episodes deep.
Mm-hmm.
Some very, very funny comedians and very funny veterans and actors have been in there. Just a lot of great people.
Yeah, it's awesome to listen to because, like I said, from with no perspective, like you know, it's great to listen to you guys. Tell these stories, even the ones that are harder to listen to. It's good. It's good to listen to those that are harder
right.
to listen
well,
to.
Well, oddly enough, for those of you, obviously this is a recording, so you can't see us.
Mm-hmm.
But if you saw Jason's physique, you'd be like, "How is he not in the military?" is all I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. You know, get it from my dad, Air Force. Just saying. And also, I don't normally do this, but I want to make sure I promote. It's perfect, actually. Speaking of the military, I'm going to be performing in Top Gun, A Drinking Game, on March 6th, Friday, March 6th, at Jet Studios in North Hollywood. Is that correct? I want to make sure I'm telling everybody the right thing. I do believe that's right. Yeah, March 6th. That sounds right. And, yeah, so go to Facebook. Go to adrinkinggame.com. You can get tickets there. I'm going to be Goose, so... Enjoy that, kids.
You can always be my wingman. All I'm saying.
Dying on stage as that guy was the best thing I've ever done. It was so much fun. I had a handful of blood. I slapped it on my face, and then everybody was like, oh, fuck, and they just loved it.
I one time walked into Point Break Live.
Oh, no.
My buddy worked on it.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't on stage, but he like did one of the things where they pass stuff out to you
okay.
in the audience or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I got there, and instantly everybody starts telling me, I got to try out for it.
Oh,
I got to try out for
uh-huh.
it. So I'm like, I don't give a shit. I'll do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've seen that movie a million
times.
I love
course.
That movie. And, you know, like, people have told me I look like him growing up in Calgary. Yeah. When I got into a real thing on a bus with a bunch of cooks one day. I was driving it, and they kept making speed jokes.
Oh, Jesus.
But so I go up there. Even the bartender's like, you got to get up there. So I go up there. And what the woman does, she makes me talk while everyone's applauding for the last guy.
Oh, come on.
And I'm like, really? And she's like, do it, do it. And I'm like, can we wait till they're not, you know?
Right.
And then I do it, and of course, like, nobody claps for me when they go down the line, because nobody heard me say a goddamn word.
Yeah.
I think one person in a booth, like the sound booth, and my buddy clapped. And I was like, thanks, you two. See you later.
Oh, man. Robbed.
And the guy who got it was, like, some actual skydiver or something. Okay. And, like he was with, like, this big skydiving group. So I was like, well, you know, I don't know anyone here. You got a whole group of friends. It's probably better this way.
Right.
And I'll just hang out with everyone afterwards and get drunk.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. I've yet to see that show. I've been wanting to.
It was entertaining.
Yeah.
It was entertaining.
Yeah.
It's funny how many things I see. Like, you just had Top Gun, the drinking game. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's all these different things that people are trying. A friend of mine was in two friends of mine actually were in it was a live performance of The Breakfast Club. Which, okay, all right, I love that movie. And there's a lot of scenes you could do on a stage without having to, you know, it all takes place in a school. It's very simple.
Right.
But there was liberties taken that I just couldn't get behind.
Uh-oh.
One was okay, as Brian the nerd was turned into Brandy.
Okay,
because the girl came in and
You
know, she just seemed perfect for a nerdy part.
Okay,
so they made Brian into a Brandy, which, you know, still worked. You know, okay, instead of shoving the weed down the crotch, she put it in her bra. Okay, but then the woman who directed it, and yes, sorry, lady, this is a knock against you, if you're listening to this, made herself Mrs. Vernon.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Which, okay, if you want to do that,
and
you think you can, that's fine.
Right.
But don't do the closet scene.
Ah, right.
Don't try to get a guy to punch you in the face, because no, even a high school kid isn't going to punch a female principal in the face, no matter how much of a bitch she is. So it's like that just, it's that ruined it. It was you kind of had me for a while, but that killed it.
Right. Well, I will say, when we take liberties, they're usually to make the movie better, which
exactly.
Top Gun's
well,
not
that's
a
what
great
you're supposed
movie.
To do. Well, Top Gun Drinking Game, at Drinking Game, you put Drinking Game at the tail end of anything, I think you made it better.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Absolutely. We've improved a couple movies, I will say. The other ones, they have to depend on us doing good impressions.
I think even the shittiest movies have been good after a couple drinks, you know?
100%. And when the actors, like we are drinking as well, then it
there
makes
you
it
go.
Good.
Of course. Everybody's slurring at the end.
Exactly. Oh, boy. I've got some stories about that. Well, thank you so much for being here, Will.
Well, thanks for having
me. This was a lot of fun. Guys, please listen to the Military Moments podcast.
Please.
Follow them on Twitter.
I don't want to sound desperate, but please.
And thank you for listening. And as always, have a good thing. Comedy on Vinyl is a production of Stolen Dress Entertainment. It is produced by Mike Warden and is hosted and edited by Jason Klom. Our theme song was composed and performed by Richard Levinson. Please visit StolenDress.com to listen to our other podcasts, read our blogs, read our tweets, watch our videos, and read our books. Please subscribe on iTunes, and if you like us, give us a 5-star rating and a nice review. You can find us on Facebook.com/ComedyOnVinyl, Twitter @ComedyOnVinyl, and find everything else at ComedyOnVinyl.com.